The matter of seeing death and tasting death. Before we go into the next official objection, I want to cover an issue that could be used as an objection. No one has ever brought this one to my attention as an objection, but it is worth mentioning because it certainly could be used, even if it would not really be a very effective argument. It is the issue of seeing and or tasting death. There are a few interesting passages in the New Testament which declare the following. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Mark 9, verse 1. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Luke 9, 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. These passages all share the same idea, that there were some standing there who would never taste death until they saw the kingdom of God come with power. All three of these passages immediately precede an account of Christ's transfiguration. Whatever view of death one takes, this phrase must be interpreted the same. Whatever death is, Christ referred to some who would not taste it. What does it mean to taste death? I believe tasting death can only be interpreted as meaning to die in the very least. Consider the ideas of drinking deep of death, or of swallowing death whole. Through this metaphor, Christ is emphasizing that those he was speaking of would not die, not in the least, until they had seen the promised kingdom. Notice that those who would not taste death are a select group or individual, because some refers to at least one. Those who would not taste death are an exceptional group. Not everyone who believed on him would see this, but only some. The verses are cryptic, secretive. Christ does not explain. The promise is arbitrary. There are no conditions on which fulfillment of this promise depends. Contrast the verses above with the following verse. John 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In this verse, the promise is different in content and character. The promise is not arbitrary. Fulfillment is dependent on the recipient keeping the saying of Christ. The context of this promise is different. In the previous examples, it was promised that some would not taste death till. In this case, the promise is never see death. That is significantly different. The one is an arbitrary promise to be fulfilled before the death of some who stood there. The other is a conditional promise to never see death for any who fulfill the condition. Christ's enemies restated his promise. Notice how the change of metaphor does seem to alter the promise. I believe they were twisting his words to cast what was being said in the worst light, much as they did when they claimed he said he would destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days, when what he said was, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." He spoke of his body. John 8, verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." So, is there more than a rhetorical difference between seeing and tasting death? I believe the Pharisees thought so. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." To suffer death is to taste death. Tasting death refers to the experience of losing one's life. The term taste is used to indicate a sensation. It is the sensation of dying. There is no sensation in the grave. Christ died, but he also rose from the dead. I believe that when Jesus Christ said that we would never see death, he meant that we would die, but that through the resurrection we would escape death. The term see connotes perception which goes beyond mere observation. By seeing, Christ means that we will never truly know death and experience it as it truly is. True death is a permanent state. To truly see death, one must experience everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. The blackness of darkness forever, Jude 1:13. There is really no knowing in death, no seeing, no experience, except in the dying. Only those that escape death can even speak of the dead as seeing death as it truly is, because only the living can see the dead. Those who escape death will never see, experience, know what the dead are seeing, which is eternal darkness and destruction. In a word, eternal nothing. The dead do not see. So is that what the terms always mean? Each instance has to be taken in context. Luke 2, verse 26, "And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." In this context, see death has the same force as taste death, but you will never see the term taste used for the stronger form. The fate of those who fail to inherit eternal life is never spoken of as merely tasting death. That still leaves the question open. Who was it that would not taste death until they had seen the kingdom of God come with power? It is always best to first look at the near context, and so some have suggested that Christ was referring to the events that followed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ is the kingdom of God, and seeing him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration could be what Christ was referring to. That is a possible interpretation, but it has never satisfied me. It has always felt like an awkward interpretation. The Transfiguration does not comfortably fit what was described as seeing the kingdom of God come with power. Contextual landmarks given from the previous section referring to Christ coming in the glory and with the holy angels also contribute a certain expectation to the idea of seeing the kingdom of God come with power. The apostles saw the kingdom of God in Christ in many ways. But this passage is clearly referring to a much more powerful appearance of the Son of Man in power and in his kingdom. Christ may have been referring to what the Apostle John witnessed in the book of Revelation. That would certainly count as seeing the kingdom of God coming with power, with his holy angels. The word "some" refers to at least one, some as in "there be some standing here." It has long been my opinion that the only person I can point to whom Christ could have been referring to is the Apostle John. John is the only person who has ever clearly testified to have seen anything matching the description of the kingdom of God coming with power. This does not mean he was the only one, but he is the only one I can point to.